Welcome back to Season Sessions, where we'll take you through all the black news of the week, and you're joined with your host Hanifa and a special guest, Hafsa.
Hey.
friend of the host, friends of the show. How does it feel to be back in the hot seat?
It's been a while, you know. Do you know what? Last time I listened back and I hated my voice.
Yeah, it's like
I sound disgusting, Hanifa.
Yeah, I think you sound that.
No, I don't know what it is. I don't know. But then, like, I'm used to it now.
I feel like everybody hates their voice. I've never heard anybody be like, I listen to myself back and I sound amazing.
No, but there are people who sound like really, like, they sound really nice and like...
Like ASMR.
Yeah. I don't think I could do ASMR.
I think I could.
I'm not going to lie to you, I don't think you can.
Sorry.
I love you, but yeah. I don't think
no,
you can.
No, but you know what? People, you know, my cat... She leaves the room when I eat crisps. Like, if it's hula hoops, as soon as she hears the bag opening, she's like, and then she walks out.
No, but I think, like, so, for anyone who doesn't know, me and Hanifa are cat lovers. Hanifa has a cat. I have a cat by default.
You could almost have a cat.
Yeah, like, it's my friend's cat, but I live with her, so it's really our cat for now, until she, like... God forbid she doesn't move away, but but I feel like all cats are like that, because our cat is like, the minute it hears any rustling sound, it'll run.
Oh no, because normally if she hears rustling sound, she's like, "Ooh, is this for me?" And then she'll come running. But when the crisps come out, she knows the crunching's gonna happen, and this is why I feel like I could do ASMR, because it's kind of like a crunchy...
ASMR for cats.
I don't know.
Speaking of cats, yeah, I actually want to tell you a really funny story. I had a person at work that was telling me about their little one. And I knew that this person had kids. I assumed that they were talking about their kids this whole time. They were talking with passion. They were talking with love. And yeah, I get it. Like, pets, great, fantastic, cute, whatever. But she was talking as if this person was her child.
What did she say?
She was just like, oh, like, my little one's really ill and it's really affected me. And and I was like, oh, that's really sad. Like, oh, da-da. I was like, she was starting showing me pictures and it was her, like, dog.
Oh.
And I was like, oh.
I care less now that it's a dog. If it was a cat, I would care more.
But, like, I was like, oh, you were talking about your child. I never want to become that person.
Honestly, it scares me. When people call me a cat mom, I'm like, sorry, no, we're just, like, friends who hang out. Not my child.
No, but she's every chance child. I get, this cat is not even mine. Every chance I get in the office, I'm like, I have new pictures, guys.
You're the problem.
I'm the problem. No. But I looked at her like, I don't want to get to your level.
No, I always...
Like, it affected her day. Like, she was really upset.
Oh, no, I would be really upset if like, I would, but I wouldn't tell her. I know not to...
No, but she was devastated. Like,
no, I...
As in, like, on the verge of tears.
I would have gone to work. Worked for
if my cat's ill, like, yeah, like, I'd book him an appointment to go see someone and stuff, but I'm not gonna, like, be on the verge of tears at work.
No, when it was the heat wave, I, like, rearranged all of my plans to keep her cool.
What?
Like, it was literally me delivering ice block because it was really hot in the house.
No, but when did we reach a point where we're working for our cats?
Oh no, we work together. me and my cat have a close relationship.
We
have sisterly, even.
We should have, like, a cat date.
Yeah, I feel like this is a conversation that we're enjoying. Maybe if a few people who have cats will also enjoy. No, but because I always feel like I only send cat pictures to people who also have cats. I don't ever inflict the catness onto others.
And
no one ever asks, so.
I do. I send, like, weekly updates.
Well, send to me, but yeah, you have a problem. So, how has your week been, anyway?
My week's been good. It's Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
Fast is on. It's not too bad this year, because by the time you finish work, you break your fast. Well, for me, by the time I finish work, I break my fast, so it's not too bad. Last year was, like, 8 o'clock, which was crazy. And the year, like, we've... So, every year it goes up by, I think, about 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Not up, but, like, the date goes
up. The calendar moves forward.
We've... past the, like, the worst year, so, like, we've passed the summer was hot and it was difficult.
It feels
onwards and upwards from here.
It's nice, you're getting in the clocks change.
No, it's still Ramadan during the winter clocks change. I think
it's the last stretch, right?
It's the last, like, week or so, but, like, Okay. But you know, from now it's onwards and upwards. Because like, I remember when I was in school and like this was like secondary school, primary school, and you finish at 3 o'clock, you go home and you break your fast. Oh. So we're getting to those kind of years where it's like much easier.
Shorter days.
But yeah, otherwise it's a blessed month. I do love it. It's a good month for reflections.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Just becoming a better person.
It is. It's hard not swearing, I'll be honest.
Yeah. No, I feel like I just don't have any discipline to do anything.
Zero.
I just feel like I was like, I should try and get on board with, well, like, Len.
Yes,
like, trying something. But I'm just like,
yeah.
I admire everyone who does it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who has the willpower to do that.
Genuinely, okay, it's hard, but I think maybe because I've done it, like, pretty much my whole life. But like, it's not as hard as you think it. After 10 days, your body gets used to it.
No, it's not even that. It's more just like, I think I did try once. When Valesa was when we used to live together, and then I would just be like, 11 o'clock, eat a flake, and they'd be like, oh no. But I think I do think in terms of like the run up to my birthday, I always have like times of reflection, a spring clean,
yeah.
And so it's like in a spiritual way, I feel like I do have some discipline there. But
yeah, I mean, I have. I wouldn't say I'm the most disciplined person. I am quite disciplined, but like it takes that one person like to be like, oh, do you wanna? I'm like, yeah, sure. but when it comes to Ramadan, because it's sort of a way of life for me, like it's, I wouldn't say it's discipline, it's just like you just do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's automatic for you by this point.
Yeah, it's very automatic for me. Mm-hmm. But I can see why people find it hard.
Yeah, I think doing anything for a period of time is hard.
Yeah. It's actually harder, like, for me, like, eating, when it's like Ramadan ends.
Oh really?
Like eating regular meals. Yeah, it's hard.
Because I suppose you like reset your system a little bit.
Yeah, and I lose the most weight during Ramadan, I'll be honest.
I saw some infographic of like things not to say to your friends who are fasting. One of them was like, do not discuss weight.
Yeah, because you could either like put on mad weight.
Yeah, because you're
and then you'd lose like loads of weight. I lose so much weight during Ramadan. I've already like gone down a jean size.
Wow. I suppose, yeah, that would make it easier.
Yeah. Happy Ramadan to everyone celebrating. I'm not celebrating. Just observing. Participating.
I am still jet lagged. So if you were listening last week, you know that I wasn't here because I was in South Korea.
Exciting.
I'm still so jet lagged right now. Like, I looked at the pictures yesterday for the first time. I was like, I need to get through it. I had a 15-hour flight home.
Wait, how did you get to Korea? Isn't it straight?
No. Well, other people got straight flights. Like Air Korea was on some people's agenda. Mine, I had to go to Shanghai, chill there for a few hours, and then go to Korea.
Damn.
And on the plane, there was one film in English.
Wait, how come? I went to Southeast Asia and all the like movies were like...
I think I went on a bad airline because the food was bad.
Damn. Do you eat airplane food?
I have to. I kind of like it normally.
I'm judging you here. Like, I hate airplane.
No, I kind of like getting a meal that's like in a container and it's very much like, this is your vegetables, this is your meat, this is your rice.
Oh,
and just getting that.
It makes my skin crawl. The only like, maybe if I was on business class, because I know they actually make the food. Mm. Yeah. But like, if I was on, I don't know if I'll ever be on business class. We hope. Yeah. Sure. But like, you know the packets that they give you?
Yeah.
And then it comes in like the aluminium foil.
Yeah,
I can't eat that.
No,
I cannot either.
There's like, I hate flying. I don't really, because I find it boring.
Mm.
But the two exciting things are when the food comes out. Because I'm just like, what is it going to be? It's never going to be great.
It's never going to be great. So why are you wondering?
I would never eat. And then also when it goes, like when it goes off. Like, that's exciting. The little rush you get.
I tend to sleep throughout the whole plane journey.
Oh, no, I sit and squirm. And
I really have really bad earaches. I hold my ears, like, during takeoff.
Oh.
But the minute takeoff, like, I take off my contacts, that's it. Like,
must be nice.
Yeah.
I literally sat with my thoughts for, like, 10 hours.
10?
It's a lot of thoughts.
But how did you find Korea?
Korea was amazing. So I went as part of like the Intrepid has this 18 to 35 program where they put together a tour of like different things to do. So we did so many cool things. Like I went to like a K-pop dance class.
How was that? You're literally living my dream.
I did the stretching part, and then as soon as that super shy,
because they're quite like,
yeah, they were hitting all these moves. I was like, I know my wheelhouse,
because it's easy moves, but it's like fast.
Yeah, it's like a proper drills. So I actually didn't.
You didn't participate. You just watched.
But it was good to see her. Honestly, everything of her was amazing. Like the food, I had allergic reactions to some things. Turns out I'm allergic to kimchi. Which is
that
obviously
is so unfortunate.
It's unfortunate to find out.
Because they have like kimchi pancakes.
Honestly,
like,
the day I didn't have any kimchi, then I was like on like one of the days, I was like, let me try some. I ate so much and then my throat was closed.
Have you had kimchi here though?
No, I don't really have kimchi. Like it's not really part of my thing. Oh, I went to the restaurant where bibimbap was invented.
Oh, yeah. I made bibimbap the other day.
I know, that's why I said it. Yeah, it
looked good. Bibimbap is so nice.
Yeah, what else did I do? Oh, the Somak, guys, right, obviously not you because not a drinker, but soju mixed with beer. I don't like beer.
Yeah, because they're big alcohol drinkers.
Okay, so it's the big cult, so you get all, you order this thing with Andrew.
I'm basing like, everything, by the way, on like K-dramas.
Honestly, you're not wrong.
Like, after work,
you go and have your Andrew and you have the Somak, which is the soju and beer. It goes down so nicely.
They have chicken as well.
Yeah. I don't even like beer. I was drinking Somak.
Damn.
It was so nice.
And they have different... I'm Muslim, so I don't know anything about alcohol. But like, I know a lot about the Korean... They have different flavours there, like grape soju, watermelon soju.
It's all about... No, but if you're having Somak, you just have plain.
Damn.
Keep it classy. The shops are amazing.
I think I've never been. I really want to go to Korea. But like, it's so... Like, when I look at like TikTok videos of like, they have like the cutest like themed cafes.
That's the thing. Everything was so cute.
Yeah.
And there's very just like cutesy. Something for everything. Like, if you're just like, oh, like my umbrella's going to get wet. Don't worry, because there's like a...
There's a cute device. Umbrella with like...
Yeah, like self-drying.
Bears on it.
Yeah. No, it's honestly everything is super cute. I bought this cute Pokemon thing. I didn't know what it was. Turns out it was vitamins. Like, they just sell that at the front of the shop with the chewing gum.
Yeah, no, they're efficient. I feel like Asia as a whole is quite efficient.
I don't know. I'm a big generalization there.
No, because when I went to Thailand, Singapore, and Malaysia, I just felt like it was just so, like, you think that the West has everything. But when you go to these countries, like... I remember in Thailand, there was like a shopping mall inside the station.
They have loads of that underground
and I'm like,
shopping
what?
Malls in South Korea. The best.
The malls are amazing. And like, there's malls on top of each other.
Do you know what? I feel like, so one guy was talking, I was talking to a guy like about the transport system. And he was saying like, before they made it, they really thought about like, what do people need?
Yeah.
What do people want? And everything is set out cleverly so you can like plan your journey. So I feel like when they were making things, they were like, what is actually best for the people? Whereas, like, everything here was built hundreds of years ago when people were...
It's based
mines.
On... What materials do we have?
Yeah.
It's like... What can you make out of this?
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah, because I went to Czech Republic recently and the transport system there is, like, amazing.
See?
So efficient.
I don't know.
Well thought out.
Our transport... And they're changing. They're changing the names of the overground.
Oh, yeah, to, like, Windrush.
Yeah, and I thought that they were going to change automatically... So no. We're going to have to wait, like, I don't know, a couple years for them to do
like
that.
Yeah, it's like a five-year plan, no?
Meanwhile, the service is a shit. I walked here. Like...
Don't even...
Anyway, shall we get on to some shout-outs?
Yes.
Okay, do you want to go first? Or do you have two?
I have two.
Okay, you go first and we'll do a sandwich.
One is an author, and she's called, I think... She wrote a book called Confessions of a Good Girl.
Ooh.
So it's based in Texas. It's about this girl who's a pastor's daughter and she has a boyfriend and she really struggles with like loving her self, understanding her body and stuff like that. Anyways, so the author is called Jeff Godney.
A guy.
I don't think it's a guy.
A girl called Jess. Jeff?
I think it's called Jeff. This is very bad
please
of
hold.
Me.
Well, we get the correct information.
I think it's called Jeff Goff. No. Oh.
Who's it by?
I don't
know. Are they black? Even?
Wait, I have it. I should have it on my... No, they are black. So I'm part of like a reading club. So we tend to read mainly like books read by black authors.
That's so cool. Is that like online or?
It's a random guy on Instagram that I followed. Shout out Ibe. Yeah, and then he's like, I'm starting a book club. Does anyone want to join? And I've been on it for like 3 years. He kicks you out sometimes.
You discuss the books?
Yeah, you discuss the books every like first of the Thursday of the month. Oh my God, that's so But cool. if you don't read the book yeah, for like 3 months, you get kicked out.
But how do they know that you haven't read the book?
Because you don't turn up.
Does anyone lie? Like, pretend.
I don't know if you can lie, but if you don't...
If you pretend to read the book like at uni.
I mean, I guess so.
Oh, you didn't do English?
I didn't do English.
Man, it was... at uni, we just go in and pretend to read the books.
Oh, found it.
So is it by Jeff?
Oh my God, doesn't it say. Who is this book by?
Oh, I don't know.
Do you have internet?
I do have internet. What's the book called?
Confessions of a Good Girl.
Why won't my phone unlock?
Yes, it's Joya Joffney. Sorry.
So, Jeff. So Confessions of a Good Girl.
So anyway, so pastor's daughter, she really struggles with her sexuality. She has a boyfriend and the boyfriend is a huge... and he's tried to like have sex with her 29 times, yeah.
Ooh.
On the 26th time.
That's a lot of times.
I know, and it's never like worked. Yeah. So she has a condition called vaginismus or thing like that.
Oh, I've heard of that.
And he dumps her and then she seeks out to like find a cure with her friends, and then in that like journey she figures out a lot about herself and the fact that she was in a really like bad relationship, da, da, da. But the author, like, the way she writes this is amazing. The way she's like kind of combined religion, sexuality, and like, I've never seen it like this before. Mm. So I want to shout out her because that's a great book. I also want to shout out Dev Patel.
He's not black.
Yeah, but
you can send me shout out.
Can I send me shout out him?
I'll let you shout him out.
Because I don't know if you know, he has a movie coming out.
Oh yeah, yeah,
Monkey Man. I watched the trailer. You know when you watch a trailer and you're like, yeah, no, I'm going to love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was like a showing of the movie recently, maybe like 2 days ago or something like that. And he cried. And like, he directed the whole movie, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Jordan Peele who produced the movie. So yeah, I'm shouting him out because I don't know.
No, honestly, I love success.
I love him.
He's so, everything he's in is so good.
He's also really humble. Not that I know him as a person, I don't know, but he looks like...
He's not really about.
Yeah. He cried when everyone gave him a standing ovation.
He deserves it, though.
He really deserves it.
Did you ever see Lion? Guys, no, if you want to cry and like you want to die inside, but then also come alive and just floods of tears, watch Lion. Honestly, I went to see it with my brother in the cinema and I think we held hands a bit. Like, it was like a touch. Like, we were like, shit.
That's when you know it was really good. Because when you don't hold, like, your siblings. Like,
not, like, forever, but...
So like, this moment here. Yeah. But, yeah, no, apparently, like, this movie is, like, really, really good.
No, it is going to be
good. And I can tell just by the trailer.
He doesn't put his name on things that aren't...
Yeah.
What's
your shout-out?
My shout-out is Michael B. Jordan. Because he spoke out about something that I've not heard many men speak out about in like a non-toxic way.
What, and his loneliness?
Yeah, and about being single. And I feel like the way that he spoke about it was one of the first times I've seen like a guy kind of be reflective as opposed to be like, oh yeah, the women, they're not good enough for me or they don't see me as I truly are. Like he was like, he needs to focus on what he wants and like what he wants in life. What, you have thoughts?
No, it's just you, like, you fumbled the bag.
Me?
No, Michael. Okay. Like, you fumbled the bags. Allegedly, like, I don't know if it's true, but he mistreated Lori Harvey. Or like there was some weird, like he might have like, he's texted his ex-girlfriend or like something along the lines. He mistreated her. I'm just going to put it as mistreated, right? Allegedly, right? And now you're lonely.
No, so don't be mean.
No, I just...
He didn't say he was lonely, actually. He said that there was loneliness with trying to, like, get into a relationship but being him, which is not the same as, like, being lonely.
I mean, I give him that, but, like... You're Michael B. Jordan. Like...
Yeah.
It's not difficult for you to find someone.
No, but that's not, that's the whole point. He's talking, it's not difficult to him to find somebody, but to find the right one is difficult.
I believe he did find her.
Oh, you do think?
Yeah. And he fumbled the bag. I'm not sure if like Laurie Harvey's still with Damson Idris.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I forgot about them in general.
Yeah, that, don't you feel like Laurie Harvey and Michael B. Jordan dating, that feels like it was a, so recently, but also so long ago.
Yeah, I think it was during the pandemic they started dating.
Yeah.
And then, but then I think, I'm not sure if Laurie Harvey and Damson Idris, I think it's been almost a year that they've been dating.
Time,
it's been a while.
Time is really... But anyway, I appreciate a non-toxic discussion.
And I hear that.
Around being a man and dating, that isn't blaming women for their situation.
I hear it.
And he was talking about like the things he wants to experience in life. In all honesty, I didn't really have a shout out.
Because honestly, I'm looking at you sideways. Of all people,
I do appreciate
he's a beautiful man. Like he's a good guy. Generally.
But I also just think men should be talking about
their
loneliness and their struggles when it comes to dating that are maybe on their end or things that they can change.
Yeah.
Anyway. Shall we get into the news? It's been not a good week.
It hasn't been a good
week. It's not a good week to be a black woman. Let me
I feel like last that. Time I came here, it was also not a very good week.
Do you know what? It's always a good time to be a black woman because,
yeah.
because of who we are.
Yeah.
But in this current climate, it's not a good time. So,
are you talking about Diane?
We're going to talk about Diane Abbott. So if you're not in the UK, Diane Abbott is an MP and she was the first black woman MP ever. As you can imagine, that's not easy. She's paved the way for not that many. There's really not that many.
She's paved the way for
black MPs,
everyone,
but she's paved the way for every black woman in the UK. I feel like if you had to name an influential black woman, Diane Abbott would be named. Anyway, a Tory donor called Frank Hester, back into 2019, has just come out that he said that Diane Abbott makes him want to hate all black women and that she should be shot.
Do you know how wild that is?
It's wild on so many fronts, and it gets wilder with the fact that the Prime Minister didn't initially call it racist. So if it's not... there was also statements saying it's not racist, it's not sexist. I don't know what it's meant to be.
So what is it? But also, okay, so this donor, he apparently owns a company that looks at NHS data, right? Analyzes NHS data, right? And so he... This happened in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Conspiracists, think about it. I just think it's so wild. The fact that you cannot like dissociate the person, hating the person to their race.
Mm-hmm.
Like imagine someone telling you, Hanitha, I hate you so much. It's made me hate all Guyanese people.
Right?
It's
honestly, it's wild that it's not seen as inherently racist to say this person has this identity. It makes me hate all people with that identity.
Based on this person.
Yeah.
That's
also,
and then on top of that
racist, it's
stupid. I want her to get shot.
So also, is that not terrorism
in its truest form?
Calling for anybody to be shot, you should not have a platform.
And then we're told to like, so the Prime Minister, this is the thing,
let's talk about what Rishi had to say.
Like, representation is not always good representation. Our whole Prime Minister, like, I don't know if you watched like the House of Commons yesterday, or I think yesterday before that, he was like, the way I saw it was very much like, yeah, I've spoken to that guy, like, you know, he's sorry about it, like, we should exercise like forgiveness. Yeah. But it's like, how can we exercise forgiveness if you're exercising stupidity here? Like,
honestly, when it's like, when remorse is shown, there needs to be forgiveness. So when did we all collectively decide that Rishi could choose when and where we must forgive?
Council culture.
Accountability.
This guy has given the Tory government £10 million.
And he
doesn't want to, and this is Rishi Sunak's friends, let's be honest. Like, he doesn't want to give the money back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, a brown person saying, yeah, this was racist, but let's just forget about it.
But it had to be twisted his arm into calling it racist. People are more afraid of things being called racist than they are of actual racism. And like when Diane Abbott, she put out her statement where she's saying like she doesn't drive, she walks most places in Hackney. Two MPs have been killed since 2016. Like, do you not think that saying somebody makes them hate all black women and she should be shot is not maybe a little bit inciting violence, emboldening exactly. people who maybe have similar views.
Like, and that's the thing, you'll be on a platform. You're not just involving people who have similar views, you're encouraging them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is the thing, like, I feel like it's a massive, like, rise of the far right. Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, my God. You should.
This it's is a global rise.
This is the thing. And you know what really gets me is that when things like this happen, which they happen often, obviously it's black women who then speak up. And then what happens is the barrage of racism. Like the amount of times, anytime we talk about anything, and then suddenly, monkey, ugly black women, all these things.
Little emojis, like and monkey like, emojis.
What? So, what are we meant to do? Like, just die? Like,
and the thing is, I think it was yesterday where she, it was the House of Commons where she tried to ask a question.
Yeah, 46 times.
She stood also, up. Firstly, for me, it's like, where's the organization in the House of Commons? Mm. Like, I just don't get it. Like, I just feel like when I watch it, I just say, oh, like in the background, they're all screaming. But honestly, it's like, if someone's gotten up 46 times, surely someone should go and be like, okay, like, we don't have time for questions. Because that's what they said after. They said, oh, we didn't have time for questions. So why didn't you mention it to her?
But this is why I feel like this is like the reality of being a black woman with any visibility. This is why, like, I'm not like super into politics, but everything is political. But is that like
that's
this
the is thing.
Every black woman in a space will have experienced some kind of version of that.
Yeah, but that's the thing though. The thing about the Tories is that it's so bad that people who generally weren't really too enthusiastic or interested in politics are now like locked in.
Mm-hmm.
It's that bad.
Well, yeah, it's a big shit show. But, like, I feel like, have you felt it in your... Because we're obviously in different fields. Like, I feel like I'm in the media.
Yeah,
so
I'm
I expect racism from the trolls, because I'm on the internet. You expect trolls anyway. And obviously, if you're black, if you're a woman, people go for what they see.
I feel like... Because I work very, very corporate, like,
so super... Hasselbalch's in HR.
I work in payroll. Well, HR, but payroll and benefits.
She's one of the good ones.
I'm the good ones, like, but I work in a very, like, I would say old school corporate company, like, firm. And I experience more, like, old racism.
Microaggressions.
Not even microaggressions, but, like, comments you would have had, like, 10 years ago. Like, oh, you're so exotic.
Oh, that's, like...
That kind of...
That is, like, do you know what? I'm not gonna lie.
And I miss it. That. So, I missed it.
A bit spicy,
I prefer that kind of racism than the outright kind of racism you will probably face.
No, but I feel like nowadays there are a lot of people who will be like, I don't have a racist bone in my body, but then they don't realize that they have so much unconscious bias with the fact that they're doing somersaults to be like, somebody said a woman makes them hate all black women, then she should be shot. And then you're like, but is that racist?
Is it racist?
Like, I don't know if I would go as far as to call that racist. Like, those are the people that are dating.
Yeah.
The people who are like, ooh, I've never met a black person before. Just like, you're ignorant. But
yeah, least, I get more like ignorant comments than like the, like.
But I feel like those people would probably admit like they don't
know. No, isn't the thing is, I know like, that, you know, in these like corporate spaces, people hate you, but they know that like diversity inclusion is very in at the moment. Mm. So they will keep you, but they will hate you. And I prefer that.
Oh, do you?
I prefer that than the like that I don't actually think that's racist, or maybe it was miscommunicated you differently. That kind of like when you're like you're gaslit into thinking it's not racism when it is.
Honestly, the amount of time...
I'd rather be like, yeah, I am racist, but, you know,
yeah,
you need someone in higher position.
Exactly. It's yeah, there's been so many instances in my life where I'm just like, should that feels racist.
Yeah.
But depending on who I say it to, they might tell me I'm crazy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like that constant struggle. But I feel so much for Diane Abbott, to the amount of hate that she would have to go through to be such a visible black woman, for then... someone to turn around and say this, and then her party not really stand
on
business.
Oh my God.
Like, nobody, it's just Diane, like, you got a bit of Jeremy Corbyn sticking up for her, but what's he going to do?
Yeah.
Like, it's the lack of solidarity is
wild,
and it's
like,
scary.
They took away, she lost her whip, right? fairly so, like, she wrote a letter. I think it was, like, really offensive or whatever. But there's another person. I think it was called Neil. I think it was called Neil Coyle. Coyle or something. Coyle. Like.
Yeah. I don't know.
He was. Yeah. So he did something, like, even worse. So he was really racist towards a journalist or something like that. And then he appealed and he's got his whips back. And they're telling Diane, like, oh, if you want to get your whip back, like, stand down.
Yeah, it's a double standard. But it was always it's always a double standard.
Yeah. It's so difficult now, I feel like, to even, like, support a party.
Oh, gosh, don't even get me started.
Like, I'm not just...
I wish I could tell everybody to vote for Green Party so that, and then everyone would actually listen to me. And then it wouldn't be a wasted vote.
Honestly.
You know, do your research.
Do your research. You know? I think... But the thing is, I feel like, for me personally, it's opened my eyes to, like, learning about, like, what's going on in the world. Like, not just what's going on in the world, but, like, UK politics.
I just feel like everything is so depressing. Every time I learn more, I'm just like, this is just two sides of a really shit coin.
Yeah.
Like, it's not... It's not something that I would want to be a part. It's not. It's, this is not the democracy that I believe in. But
yeah.
But here we are. But anyway, shall we
move? No, the exercise forgiveness part really spun me.
As, I feel like that's just something as
like get over it.
We're constantly told like you have to be the bigger person. You have to exercise forgiveness.
I want
to
be the little person.
Otherwise, all the problem.
And I don't want to exercise forgiveness.
Yeah, but then it's like, oh well, then you've got a chip on your shoulder. You're never gonna succeed.
And the same guy who was like the Tory donor, he was like, oh no, I think racism is a poison, and I'm like, why are you spewing it then? Like,
but you obviously don't because you're okay with it.
You're okay with it. You said this only like, what was that, like 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
2019. And this was during BM.
It's just such a wild
thing. This must be.
It was before 2019. Hmm. But it's a wild thing.
It's a wild thing to say. I'm so sorry.
To say about everything.
I hate you so much. It makes me want to hate all black people.
Just women.
Black women.
I don't know why that makes sense.
Black women. Like, it's such a wild thing to say.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's disgusting. And it just goes, it's just the state of the...
And I want her to get shot, like...
That is... Saying that about anybody...
That is so violent.
So let's just talk about, if it, a double standard, if anybody else had said that, if Diane Abbott had said that, it would have been over.
Oh my God, she would have been cancelled in a second. Done. She would have had to step down.
Hate everything. Crime. Like...
Yeah.
It's the fact that people going to protest are getting arrested for having signs that, like, call out the Prime Minister and people, but you can call for somebody to be shot.
So I'm now called to be shot, but I must, like, forgive.
They... What has he done to get forgiveness?
And this is the thing, like, this guy, 100%, he's so rich and, like...
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care because he knows, like, the
Why
Prime Minister...
Why is he pressed about Diane Abbott in the first place?
How did he meet her?
That's...
Like, how, this is, where did you meet Diane Abbott? Like,
this is why, that's another thing that gets
And this out. Is the conspiracy thing. I reckon this, he had something to do with,
okay,
like,
God,
COVID.
God, I'm going
to
be honest. I'm going to stop you right there. I don't really know what's going on with this conspiracy. That is just, yeah, well, that's a moment into Hafsa's brain. But I just feel like this, it's the same thing with, like, the guys that are on our TikTok. Every week you're there, pulling up every single, like, clockwork. Why do you care? Like, why? I don't
why do you,
think about
why
you.
Why do you care so much about women's,
like,
business?
These black women are not thinking about you ever. And you're here getting so angry about black women existing. Like, get a life.
Honestly, like, TikTok is a whole other realm of, like, idiocy.
Honestly, it might be getting banned in the US.
Wait, in the US or the UK?
In the US.
Okay. As much as I hate TikTok, I do scroll. <That's>
Okay, we've got another serious story. So it's another UK-based one. But a 19-year-old woman called Samira Ayanley, she was reported missing on March the 4th. And then her body was found in the River Thames. And it was announced 3 weeks after she was announced missing.
Yeah.
However, it's been found that she was actually discovered a lot earlier on February the 22nd. So it took them 3 weeks to identify her body, despite her being missing. So they said that basically there was no personal property or identification on her.
And she was a SOAS student as well.
Yeah, so she was reported as missing. So you would think somebody's gone missing, you find a body, you
don't... 3 weeks to identify her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That for me is wild. Like, shouldn't have, like, I'm no like detective, but like, you find a body, it kind of matches the body you're looking for. Shouldn't you now bring the parents into, or like what the guardian to now like view the body and confirm, is this the person?
Yeah.
How has it taken 3 weeks?
I don't know. It was just saying like,
and I think this is like the sixth person.
Yeah. No.
That's like been found in like the River Thames.
Yeah, black women are going missing and washing up in the River Thames, and nobody is looking into it.
Black women and like men.
Black men as well.
Yeah. I think it's like six people.
Well, look, it says, this is just like in general, but like black people are four times more likely to be reported missing. And when they are, their cases aren't treated with the same level of care and consideration. So it's just, this is not something, like as soon as I saw the, like.
My heart hurt.
Yeah, she's so like 19 years old.
19, like young student, like got into SOAS, like.
It's honestly, it's heartbreaking. And I hope a full investigation is done.
There needs to be a full investigation with all the, like, because I think there's six other people as well that, like, were found the same way.
Yeah, but then they are, like, her friends are, like, holding the authorities accountable. They're like, you guys need to look into this. Why did it take so long? Why wasn't... I think if a body is found in the River Thames, is that not automatically, like, a proper investigation?
Yeah, like...
Yeah. Well... But my condolences go out to her family,
and friends.
Yeah, it's honestly heartbreaking.
That is heartbreaking. Very, very heartbreaking. Yeah.
But on a lighter note, Beyonce announced her...
her new country album.
Her new country album title. I think it's not... I'm not so impressed by the name.
I am
Cowboy Carter.
Not inclined to talk about anything.
Oh, wow. You don't want to be... You don't want the Hive to come eat you.
The Hive to come with me.
Look, this I can is hear a them safe buzzing. Space. I will say Cowboy Carter, it sounds like a Disney Channel show.
Cowboy Carter.
Like Cowboy Carter.
Do you know what, like, yes, a country album would be good, but I really need, like, I really, in the times that we're in, I need a soul album from Beyonce.
But I feel like she's gonna bring the soul. Like, I wasn't on board, first of all. I don't really like country music like that. But
I mean, I love country. I really, really love country.
I feel like she's bringing the soul into it.
I need a best thing I never had. I need a sad, soulful. No, I feel like the other album was very like great and like it was buzzy and like it was very. But I just need
to reflect.
I need something to cry with. Like I need a good Beyonce album.
You're not getting, well. You'll get a good.
It's good, but it's not. I need old Beyonce.
You want like ballads and shit, right?
Yes. Yeah. I want like old school like Beyonce ballads. But I do think this like album would be good.
Yeah, I think I'm looking forward, like, the track listing, Take My Man, in brackets, Jolie, that's going to be a hit.
That's going to be good.
Do you reckon it's going to get a feature from Dolly?
I think so. She'd have to.
I feel like she's going to, I don't know country music like that, but I feel like if you do country album, you're going to have to get Dolly Parton involved. And Dolly's all
of course, of course. And the thing is, when she had the first song, I can't remember what it's called, the first country song that she had recently.
Texas Hold'em.
Texas Hold'em, yeah. So, there was a country radio. I think it's a very like gated community.
It is very.
So there was a I can't remember what it's called, but there was a radio station who wouldn't play our songs.
Oh yeah, no. But I did see they didn't know that it was country.
Yeah. So I mean, like, but like, wait. I'm so sorry. Like, it sounds country.
No,
so.
But they didn't know. They were like, we don't play Beyonce. Because they didn't know that she was on.
Fair, but in the end they did, right? See. So, but I think Beyonce trying to get into that market, she needs to have the OGs on the album.
Yeah,
so Darlene will probably be featured for sure.
You mean Dolly?
Dolly, sorry.
There's also one called Star Spangled Breasts.
You what?
Yeah. So
what does that even mean?
When you look at Beyonce's song titles without knowing what's going on, I remember I was scared when I looked at the track listing for Renaissance. It was like plastic off the sofa.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I know.
Out of context. But like, so we've got Stars, okay, Deep South, that's fine. Take My Man, Texas Hold'em, Furs, which is like, I'm guessing, you know, like the kind of rich wife.
Yeah.
Cowboy wife, look. Star Spangled Breast, that's the first question mark.
That is, like, what does that even mean?
Star Spangled Breast. She's what got does it stars mean? On her tits.
Damn, okay.
Mirror Image, H-Town Hussy, Parallel. Dance With Me, Paris Has Burned, Devotion, The Two of Us, All the Years I Yearn. I reckon that will be your like sing it out hit. And then 16 Carriages.
I'm surprised.
She's not giving much away.
Yeah. That's a lot for a country album, I'll be honest with you.
Do you actually listen to country?
I do.
Every time I've had this conversation, which is about seven times, every single person has been like, oh, I love country. Why is no one talking about this?
Can I be honest? It's a very, you know, Caucasian thing.
It's not even.
But I do love it. I really do love it. Even like Brett Young. In case you didn't know.
No? I don't know. who's the guy that did that song with Nelly?
Nickelback.
No, sorry.
I know that.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly. I know that. Wait.
Billy Ray. All I know is Dolly Parton, Billy Ray Cyrus, and I'm out.
I never used to listen to Billy Ray Cyrus. I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't know any of his songs.
Yeah, no. I listen to sort of like the sad country.
Oh, the
thing is, for me, like different genres, yeah, I listen to because I want to, like, I feel a certain emotion because I don't have that emotion in real life.
Right.
So I would listen to ballads just so I can cry. So I would listen to over and over again just so I can cry, right? So country is like my on a long train journey, on a long bus journey type of music.
And how did you get into that? Because I just can't say, because there's a few odd country songs that I'm okay with, but I've never thought.
I think in general, like, I'm very curious about like different genres of music. Like the other day I found a Madagascan like playlist. I love K-pop. I love like all types of like music. Par like heavy metal. I've never been in my heavy metal bag. I'm sorry, that's just not me.
Yeah.
But like I just like, I think I attach it with emotion. So like at the gym I would listen to like really like hard rock. And that's just to get me through like my workout.
Yeah.
But then on the way home, I'd listen to like a ballad, like especially if it's darker.
But then going to country, what's
country is my summer like genre. Like I listen to country during the summer because it's
okay.
Like,
maybe you have to send me a country playlist.
I have a few.
Okay.
That I've made myself. I'll send you.
So we've got a little bit of time.
We're excited for Beyoncé's new.
I am excited. Yeah.
Would you go to the concert?
Yeah. I will. I don't know. I kind of wanted to do a greatest hits.
Yeah, I'm hoping for that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll see if I like the songs, but not necessarily. But to end things. So Alani asked recently, what are your friendship red flags? And since we're friends.
Oh, me and Hanif have been friends for...
We've been friends for a long time.
Damn.
We've known each other for a really long time, though.
10 years.
We've known each other for 10 years. Oh my God, we're so old.
God.
Sorry, it's longer than 10 years. 12 years.
Impossible.
We're so
wait,
old.
No, wait. When did...
It's 12 years. This is not a conversation for the podcast. Yeah, but yeah, 12 years. So, we're good friends. What is your ultimate friendship red flag? Because I've got one.
Do you want to go first?
Okay. So, this hasn't happened to me recently, but you know that one friend that's like super lovely, really kind, and then as soon as there's like a cute guy or someone cute, they're like, oh my God, remember that time you did this? And then they try and embarrass you.
Oh.
Or they like side, like they'll like bring you down a few pegs in front of other people.
Yeah.
That's my red flag.
What do you do in that instance? Because I would just...
You clap back.
Yeah, I would
want to embarrass me? Everyone's going to be embarrassed.
Even the guy that I'm... Like, the cute guy, he will also be embarrassed.
Everyone's going to be dying of embarrassment if you try to embarrass me in a situation. Yeah, no, I'm... Yeah, I think that...
But I feel like that stems from, like, insecurities.
Yeah, don't be insecure around me.
Yeah.
No, I don't know, because everybody has insecurities.
But don't bring me down.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like, such a teenage thing to do.
Yeah, it is. It's very, like... I don't know. I always feel like we always talk about like girls that went to girls' schools and girls that didn't. Because you didn't go to a girls' school.
Do you know what I was supposed to?
Were you?
And I was supposed to go to a girls' school and there was an exam. Mm-hmm. And I made sure I was so dumb and I failed the exam. So I wouldn't go.
Did you run boys that bad?
No, it wasn't even that. I just didn't want to, because like, this would been like a boarding school.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, no. I made sure I failed that test.
But I feel like, there's different girl code from girls that went to girls' school.
Do you think you went to a girls' school, right?
Yeah.
How was that?
I feel like it was because there was no guys. There was no like all of the arguments happened because of guys that went to the boys' school.
So you had like a boys' corner close
but
by.
But because we weren't surrounded by guys all the time, it was very much that you get into a fight with somebody. There was some bitchiness, but everyone confronted each other. I think the lack of having guys there made us all more masculine.
Really? I had a girls' school near my actual school, and I felt like every time they would come after school to like meet the boys in our school. Yeah. And I'm thinking they ain't great anyway. So, you know,
I don't know. You got to work with what you get.
I don't really know why you're here, but cool. Yeah. But like they were so like they were very bitchy. They were very like boy hungry.
I feel like that's a facet of it. But then you have like pack mentality. So it's like they would have been looking out for each other. You guys, you other girls.
Do you think so? Yeah, like I feel like we were more chill because we were in mixed school. Like
I don't know. I remember when, because we went to the same sixth form.
Yeah.
That was where I was with boys. That was stressful. The amount of times I went to like boys' houses to do homework and I didn't realise that we were not, that I was like, I'm here to do homework.
And they're like, this is a date.
Yeah. I went on so many accidental dates. So yeah, I don't know. But what's your friendship red flag?
Oh, friendship red flag. I feel like friends who take ownership of like your other friends. Like, why are you friends with this person? When did you become friends with that person? You've been hanging around them. Like, they try to take ownership of your time. And I feel like I did have that like when I was like much younger, and I cut those friends out. And it's been great since. Like, I hate someone trying to like, not oppress, but like
control
like what I do, who I'm friends. If I make a friend at work and I decide to hang out with that person and I genuinely like that person, like who are you to now be like, oh, you've been hanging around with this person too much? None of your business.
Yeah, that is weird. I feel like that's a very
I'm very open with friendships. Like, yes, I have my close friends, people that I really love, but I'm open to making new friends. Like, I'm not the kind of person that would be like, oh, I already have five friends, I don't need any more. Like, I feel like throughout your life, you always make new friends depending on like where you are.
Don't you find that so weird though?
No, I love it though.
When I reflect, I'm like, wow, like I just worked at a bar with this person and now we're still talking.
We're boys. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that is honestly the concept. No, but I love it though. Making friends is like, even like us.
Yeah, because like,
we were just drifting around similar friendship circles.
And then it's the most beautiful thing ever.
I think that's the thing about getting older. You kind of weed out the red flags.
You do. You do. And I think you weed out very much so when you're like 25 to like 27. Yeah.
So it's like a shit time.
Yeah.
But it's also a good time. But also, I feel like a red flag is somebody who has no friends.
No, but like,
because
ever or like just, you know.
Just like, keep my circles small.
To myself. Okay. Like, yourself can be boring at sometimes.
You know,
like
people who like constantly are falling out with people.
I do think you need to look at yourself and think, I am the problem.
Yeah, like the common denominator.
Yeah, no. I think it's because I like went to different schools when I was young. So I went to like four different primary schools. So, and then by the time I'd gone to secondary school, I had all these friends from like the different primary schools, but like I never settled with one group up until like year 9 or year 10. So it was always quite like flexible with who I hanged out with. And I feel like I'm still like that now.
Yeah.
Like I've created really good friendships. Hinnie included.
Yeah, you're a good friend.
But like, I'm like, if I meet someone at work and I vibe with them, I would approach them and be like, oh, do you want to go have lunch?
Yeah. Do you know?
I feel like I'm not selfish with like my time.
Yeah, you're very friendly. You're a big people person.
Do you know what? I don't feel like I am. No, but if I like you, I'm not ashamed to be like, hey, like let's hang out.
I don't know. Even sometimes like when I'm like hanging out, I'm having lunch with somebody, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe we're actually friends. Like, I never considered like, wow, you're actually my friend.
Oh my God, like you're too cool for me.
It's not even that. It's like, you used to just be a person off the
street. Yeah.
Which is nice. I think it's nice. But yeah.
Because when you're young, you have so many friends. And then like when you like you reach like 24, 25 and then you realize like a lot of people aren't actually your friends. They're just friends of the group.
Yeah, exactly.
Friends and then the big group that you were in like disperse and everyone has their individual friendships. But I feel like for me, I prefer the one-to-one. If I like that one person, outside of the group, I'll meet up with them.
Yeah. No, I think that's a green flag.
Yeah.
You got lots of green flags.
Oh.
Anyway, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
There's not going to be an episode next week. got holidays, but we'll be back the following week for a special Easter episode.
Oh my God, it's already April.
Yeah.
Damn.
Anyway, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.